Ready, down, put, 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 put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Get us your Bob Uecker reflections, reactions all morning long here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Josh is shaking his head back there behind the glass because Chewy just cleared his throat on the air.
Puts his headset on and ah-ah!
Every time.
You're on.
It's never so. It's never gonna not make me laugh. I love it every time.
Hey, that's what happens when you're old, okay?
Yeah, I get it, man.
You just make noises.
You can't control things. Well, you just can't control things.
I hope we're only referring to you clearing your throat at this point.
He's gonna be wearing a diaper soon.
No. Let's get out to Jason.
I woke myself up. You ever wake yourself up snoring? I did that last night.
Wow,
that
I wish my husband would wake himself up snoring. And I wouldn't have to do it. I sleep so well from 9:30 until about 1:30, and then it's all downhill from there. Jason Wilde, good morning. Welcome to the circus. How are you doing today?
I think that's on Josh.
Whoa. Yeah, thank you, Jason.
Shots
fired. Yeah, it is.
I mean,
I'm sure Josh would say it's on him.
I'm sure he wouldn't.
No.
So obviously, Pausch and I think the secret sauce to our show is that we're rarely in the same place, because when we are, our show kind of sucks. So we're always in two different locations, and so instead of you're up, it's are you ready? And then I can say, no, I need to clear my throat. Hold on a second. And then that doesn't happen on the air. So this is all Josh's fault. And I know Josh is going to be mad at me now, and he's probably not going to be my friend anymore. But I am here to defend Chewy on this, because we have had producers, none to be named here, that will just give you the, all right, you're up, or mics are on, or whatever it might be. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I'm in the middle of coughing or something. So I'm defending my boy Chew, which doesn't happen very often, but it's happening.
Yeah.
Jason, to Maybe be clear, every time that. I warn him and tell him he's up, he still then wrestles with his mic, coughs into it. So I've given up. It doesn't matter.
So you're a quitter.
Which bothers you more, Joshy? The coughing or the clearing of the throat or the jostling of the microphone?
The jostling of the mic to drink the water 7 times in one interview. Just hold it for a second, all right?
Out of a 3-gallon jug on top of it.
Do we need 4 sips of water? It's been 4 minutes.
Would you rather have me cough?
I did not expect that level of vitriol, if I'm being honest.
I mean, it's a Friday.
Chewy's finally in a good mood.
I know. It only took 5 days. Hee. Jason, you got any Uke thoughts?
Oh,
any
man.
Uke stories?
Yes, I do. Look, I know what hasn't been said by now, right? I mean, look, it was a very, you know, I think we all kind of knew that there was something amiss, right? I think my struggle was that, you know, without having an idea that this was, without knowing exactly what was going on, it still came as a really big surprise to people, at least to me. I mean, I certainly wasn't expecting it to shift our entire show yesterday. And then to learn that he's been battling this since early 2023, you know, kind of put in perspective how private, someone who is such a public figure kept his battle private. And you know, I don't know how Jeff Levering and Lane Grindle and all the folks that probably knew about it were able to not, you know, say anything. But I think what struck me was it put all these other moments in perspective for me, because I don't listen to all 162 games. I used to when I was a kid. I mean, I was, and that's why it's such a, for me, was upsetting, is because, as for many people that grew up in Milwaukee, he was the soundtrack of our summer, as Gene Miller says in his obituary that we played yesterday. But, like, I thought back to Yelich, and I know Joshy, because he's such a great producer, sent us the audio of Yelich talking after their loss to the Mets and him getting so emotional about Euchre. And you thought, okay, now this makes sense yesterday, right? The emotion that was in Jeff Levering's voice. Like, you know, Chewy, I've covered how many Packers seasons now where it ends in a loss. And, you know, if you don't win a Super Bowl, if you make the playoffs, your season is ending in a loss. And most of the time they've made it. And I don't, there have been very few times where there have been guys that were as emotional as those guys sounded about last year's loss. So you knew there was something amiss, but I just found myself, and I don't know if you guys did this, but I watched so many videos last night of him, whether it was on Carson or at WrestleMania or in Major League. And Major League 2, where he actually, I mean, Major League 2, not a great film, not as bad as Major League 3, but he's phenomenal still. So I found it comforting to hear a bunch of his old calls and all those kinds of things. Just what a great gift that you have if you're trying to deal with grief, to have all of those recordings of him kind of help you through it.
Yeah, that's the incredible part, is how many, like, you mentioned WrestleMania and Johnny Carson. He had a sitcom. He was in movies, and he was a baseball announcer. Like, the number of different places and people and just the reach of Bob Uecker is the most just astounding thing, I think, as you take it, kind of take a step back and look back at everything he was able to accomplish in his 90 years.
Well, and Jason, I'm scrolling through Instagram over here, and Adam Sandler has a post thanking Bob Uecker. Says, felt like all of our dad's best friend, love to his family, and thanks for everything, Bob.
Yeah, I was struggling to think of someone who had such a varied life experience. Like, you know, to think, I mean, who would have watched Mr. Belvedere was on the air for 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, and largely because, I mean, what a gift he had for comedic timing and delivery. I mean, I can't imagine that there are many people that you can look at. I mean, there are obviously great comedians, I get that, but all the things that he did throughout his life, I mean, and that's, you know, that was the other thing I found myself thinking about. I mean, he was still doing games. I know he was dealing with cancer, but he was still doing games last year at age 90. And I thought, I'll take that. What a life well lived. And if we are all, you know, I'm sure he would say this, if we're all as lucky as he was, then we'll all have been incredibly blessed.
Jason, with the season over, and I'm not sure when this decision has to be made, but do you believe they will give Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt the fifth-year option?
I do now. They have to decide by May 1st. And yesterday, you know, Goody did not say we are giving them the fifth-year option, but the way he raved about both of them, it's hard to imagine them not giving them the fifth-year option. Now, he did say about Quay Walker, we would like to have him here for a number of years, which felt a little bit like a hint of we're going to avoid the fifth-year option and we're going to pay him even more and sign him to an extension. So, you know, the option numbers are not ginormous. I think linebacker last year was $14 million. I think defensive tackle was $11 million, or maybe I'm transposing those. But, you know, those are both very affordable. Obviously, they did not give Eric Stokes the fifth-year option last year when they had to do it, or had to decide whether to do it. So, I would anticipate both of them getting it. I think what's important here, and we spent a lot. I mean, the press conference was 35 minutes yesterday, and most of it was for a team that went 11-6 and punched out in the first round of the playoffs. It was exceedingly positive, and which led me to asking the final question, which was basically, hey, you guys, we've talked about a lot of really good things. You got a lot of good players, but you did finish 11-6. You know, what was your biggest disappointment and what needs to be done moving forward? And I think the vibe that they have, while they lost three in a row to end the season, especially on defense, is unbridled excitement, right? I mean, they are really excited about how good they were in the first year of Hafley's defense and how good they could be. And as Rob Domofsky broke last night, they fired Jason Rebrovich, their defensive line coach. So clearly they believe, and Goody kind of said this without saying anything about the coaching, that they think they still have good players up front that can get to the quarterback, despite evidence to the contrary for most of the season. So I think they really think their defense has a chance to be an elite, elite unit. And so they're excited about that. They don't seem downtrodden about whatever downturn, at least statistically, Jordan Love had. They're obviously excited about Josh Jacobs. We kind of danced around the wide receiver question. But overall, I mean, they go into the offseason, despite three straight losses, feeling really good about what they're building.
So, Jason, quickly, Josh, you looked it up via Over the Cap. Wyatt would be $13 million. Walker would be $16 million. Those are projections, and those numbers can certainly change. But based on his answer to that, and based on the way he talked about the wide receiver room, all these, you know, all these fantasy bookings and fantasy trades that everybody like me has been putting through our minds, oh, what if we get Devontae? What if we get Max Crosby? Would you expect them to be that active going after a big-time player like that to improve the wide receiver room or improve the defensive line?
I do think they're going to go after someone that is big name. Like, they have the financial wherewithal to do it. They can do it without it, you know, preventing them from, because Goody brought this up, preventing them from re-signing or extending certain players that they want to keep that are their own. Because remember, the 2022 class is going into the final year of their rookie deals. And I'm not saying all these guys will get or even deserve extensions, but we just talked about Walker and Wyatt, Christian Watson, right? Romeo Dobbs, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker. Like, they've got some decisions to make on a lot of guys on rookie contracts. And that's going to be part of the Rubik's Cube that they have to figure out. So, yeah, I'm excited from what I've been reading on the internet. It looks like Devontae Adams, T. Higgins, Myles Garrett, mm-hmm. and Max Crosby.
Yeah. And a Super Bowl.
And Bonds and Griffey. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Jason, we appreciate you bringing it back to baseball to end this conversation. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can listen to Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every day here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We have Craig Karmazin coming up. Certainly, Craig will have stories about Bob Uecker as well. Keep getting us your reaction. We will get to those as the show rolls on this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a longstanding commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.